morning. I have Verizon as a cell phone provider, so I was one of many people on Monday who just didn't have service until like 3 p.m. I don't know if anyone else experienced that. There was a big like network outage, and I frustratingly spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was wrong with my phone. Like, it didn't dawn on me that the network could just go out and you could not have service. In the scheme of things, it didn't cause me too much trouble. The biggest inconvenience was I really didn't want to go anywhere. I'm not ashamed to admit that I rely very much on my maps and have a terrible sense of direction. But I had things to do, so eventually I just, you know, took the risk and left. Thankfully, I didn't get lost. But what I did notice were my drives were so quiet. Without maps or music, there was a lot of silence. And that silence was actually beneficial to me that day. As you may know, silence can be a spiritual discipline, a formative practice that, when done with intentionality, regularly, can form us and shape us. So let me ask you, what is your relationship to or experience of silence? Maybe in your life right now, you don't have any silence. Or maybe when you do find exterior silence, there's not very much interior silence. Your mind is going all kinds of directions, your to-do list, it's hard to find that inner quiet. Maybe you notice you've been avoiding silence. You play music and podcasts and Netflix because you don't want to have to face something beneath the surface level of yourself. If you haven't been with us at the river during the fall season yet, we engage something we call the Fall Challenge. And this year, we're engaging a spiritual practice using this daily devotional that Brad referenced in the announcements. It's like a daily prayerful spiritual reflection that involves 2 minutes of silence at the beginning and the end. And so this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about silence. Because I imagine if you're joining us for this fall challenge, or if you already have started, silence is probably the easiest part to skip. Maybe you already have skipped it. Because when life gets busy and emails pile up and kids need to be fed, who has time to sit in silence? And what is 8 minutes of daily silence really going to do for you anyway? That's the question I'm going to try to answer this morning. Could 8 minutes of silence be formative and beneficial? Let me say a prayer for us, and then we'll get into God's word. God, we invite your presence here in the silence. We ask that you would speak to us. Our hearts are open, that you would lead us into deeper relationship and love with you and others. Through your word this morning, we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of Mark, starting with chapter 6. The book of Mark tells the story of Jesus' life, his ministry, death, and resurrection, and a little bit of context here. Right before this, Jesus' followers have gone out and they're doing like Jesus' work, his ministry, and they come back to Jesus, and it's been a long journey and they're tired. This is what the text says. The apostles gathered around Jesus, reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So let me pause for a second, because I want you to imagine that you've just had a long day or a long journey, whether it be like a very draining 10-hour work day or a vacation that went terribly wrong. You're like, I need a vacation from the vacation. And you get home, what do you reach for when you need rest? Maybe Netflix, DoorDash, sleep. Maybe you go out with friends, you need to have some fun. But do you reach for quiet? it's interesting to me that Jesus draws his followers into silence, into quiet. But interestingly, as the story goes, this quiet is quickly interrupted because crowds of people come and find Jesus, follow them, and then Jesus performs this miracle. He feeds thousands of people with one kid's lunch. And after that, the text says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. So what we see in the story is in the beginning, he's inviting other people into quiet. Now Jesus is seeking out silence and solitude to pray. And so to the question of, does silence matter? Could it impact us? We could sort of wrap up the sermon right here. Like, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. So maybe we should all do it. But I think there is more to explore here. Even though the text doesn't explicitly say this, silence can create space for intimacy with God. Jesus is going to silence to pray, to connect with God. Silence helps our souls settle into God's pace that is unhurried and not busy, his peace and love. It cultivates growth in our relationship with God. But because the devotional in our fall challenge is focused on relational health, the question I was exploring this week was, how does silence impact our relationship to other people, not just God? I think it's an important question to ask, not just because the fall challenge has a relational focus, but because of the context in which we find ourselves. I've referenced this in a sermon before, that there's all this research and stats that's pointing to like this growing incivility in our culture and context. Service workers reporting customers are more rude and entitled than ever before. TikToks and news articles referencing adult tantrums that seem to be happening more frequently. From my own experience, it seems like it's not just incivility, but people feel more emotionally reactive than before. And when I say reactive, what I mean is a sense in which the emotional energy that somebody has is bigger than what feels reasonable or proportional to a situation. Maybe you've noticed this. You yourself, you feel a bit more on edge, having big emotions and big reactions. Other people lashing out at you over things that seem so seemingly insignificant. And part of the problem is this rudeness or reactivity, it easily catches and spreads. Someone cuts you off on the highway, gives you a weird look, and it derails your mood for the next few hours. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. In my research, there's a number of different causes that people have pointed to sort of explain what we're experiencing. I'll just mention two. One is higher stress. More people are stressed, and the people who are stressed are experiencing chronic higher levels of stress. Two, a lack of self-awareness. And not just that people are not self-aware, but actually a lot of people think that they're self-aware, less people actually are. So what can silence do for our relational health in this context, in this incivility, growing rudeness? I'll just mention two things. Interestingly, one, it can lower stress. I did a little bit of research here, and one study suggests that 2 minutes of silence is more effective in relieving physical tension than listening to relaxing music. And just a few minutes of regular silence is more beneficial to your stress response than longer periods of silence less often. So you might think for silence to be really beneficial, you need to do like a weekend retreat once every other month. Actually, 8 minutes in the daily devotional that we're using, done over a regular period of time, can be beneficial to your stress response. Two, silence can help us grow in self-awareness. And maybe this makes sense to you. If you're constantly busy, always around people, listening to music and podcasts, watching Netflix, when do you have time to check in with yourself? how you're doing, what you're feeling. As I heard one pastor describe it, silence can usher us into the wonders and presence of God. It can also help us look beneath the surface of ourselves, our motivations, fears, and feelings that are affecting our behavior and move through those feelings with God. Quite a while ago, there was an upsetting incident of heightened emotional reactivity in pop culture, so much that so many people on social media had something to say about this incident, and it was catching. People were having strong emotions about this incident that took place. And I only remember one post that someone made. It's this pastor that I follow. His name's Rich Villalotus. And he said something like, yeah, I'm really upset about this thing. I'm going to have to journal about that tomorrow. Now, when I say that, maybe you're thinking, okay, that's not very profound. How significant is that? But can you imagine if most of us reacted that way most of the time in our relationships? Maybe it doesn't sound that difficult. So I invite you to bring to mind the last time you were in an emotionally heated conversation and how easy it was to respond in heightened emotion. You know, this passage that we just read, it's interesting to me that Jesus doesn't wait for silence, but he seeks it out. One of the verses said, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray, and later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. It's late in the evening, pretty late. Jesus chooses prayer over sleep. He chooses being in silence over being with people. And there's a couple different conclusions that we could draw here as to like why Jesus is doing that and going off and being by himself. Maybe he's just an introvert. He's like been around people all day, just needs a little solo time. Maybe he's just a spiritual guy. Like he's spending all this time late in the evening praying, but he's Jesus. Like it makes sense that he would do that. But I also wonder if maybe this was the only time that he could find silence. Crowds of people are following him all the time. In order for him to find silence and solitude, he has to sacrifice sleep. He has to stay up late to do it. Truthfully, that's a challenging word for me because I'm one of those people that's sort of like 8 hours no matter what. Like that is a high priority in my life. But here Jesus says there's something important about silence. And I think this is a word for us because even though we don't have crowds of people following us around all the time, we have noise and sound and we're busy and there's music and podcasts, as I've mentioned. Silence can be very hard to find. It can be tempting to believe that it doesn't really matter. We'll skip the 2 minutes at the beginning and end of the devotional. But this passage is an exhortation, inviting us to find some silence, to prioritize it. We're going to, in just a little bit, practice silence and do one of the devotionals together. But before we do, I'm going to invite up Mary, who's going to talk a little bit about her experience of silence. Here at the River, we value taking time to share testimony and experience so we can learn from how other people are learning from God. So please give Mary a warm welcome.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. So if you've met me, you might be thinking, Mary, silence, that's an odd pair, because you know I'm not very quiet most of the time. In fact, there was a time where if anyone mentioned silence, I would run as fast as I could in any other direction, because I would not want that. But over the last 15 years, I would say silence with time alone has become something I crave and need. So when Grace asked me to share about my experience with silence, my mind went into that movie reel mode where, you know, all these memories flash before you. And I just thought about all my different experiences of silence. And this morning, I'd like to share what is most helpful and significant to me about practicing silence in this present season of my life. So I, like many of you, live a daily life that is not very quiet. Right? I'm not often alone, and there's always something or someone that needs to be taken care of. And the season of life has felt particularly harder than anything else I've ever encountered. Parenting a teen, 10-year-old, and 8-year-old is hard. Having aging parents is hard. Marriage is hard. Being present to friends who are suffering serious health issues is hard. It seems everything is hard, and I have a lot of feelings about it all. So these feelings are very uncomfortable and generally are the ones I like to avoid, like anger, sadness, frustration, grief, regret, anxiety, disappointment. And my instinct, my gut reaction, when these feelings start to creep in, is to push them down, is to fill every part of my life, every space that I have, with noise and activity. I'd rather be productive and functional than feel bad. I don't let myself have any quiet because those feelings will come and I don't want them to. The noise and activity act as a cocoon. They wrap around the unpleasant and the uncomfortable as an attempt to keep them away. This works for a while, but inevitably I will break down from trying to hold it all together and I explode, usually in anger and hopelessness, and unfortunately, Jesus and the boys are often caught in the blast zone. So it is not only good for me in this season to find another way to engage, but it is good for everyone around me. Practicing silence is one of the ways that I can engage with my current reality in a more helpful and healthy way. So my times of silence don't look like days-long solo retreats by the ocean where all you hear is the waves and the birds. Though I do try to do this a couple of times a year, silence today looks more like coffee breaks or timeouts. So these are a few of the things I want to share that I'm doing now. So I just started to spend 10 minutes a day to quiet down and finish this prompt with one word. At this time, I feel. And I just wait for a word to come. I collect these words and reflect on them at the end of the week. And this has helped me become more conscious and aware of my internal world about how I'm doing. When the sounds of people and demands are becoming too loud and persistent and overstimulating, I leave that space and go somewhere where the noise cannot follow. Typically my car, my closet, or my bathroom. This gives me a physical break for my body, for my brain, for me to calm down. And usually I have a better understanding of what I need and what I need to say no to after I leave that. When I feel myself getting frustrated and annoyed and wanting to fight or escalate a situation, I give myself a time out and remove myself ASAP. I go straight to my closet, turn off the lights, and just breathe deep, deep breaths until I calm down. I take my earbuds out before bedtime and let the feelings roll through me. Sometimes I take time to write them down, sometimes I cry it out, and sometimes I just let them carry me to sleep. It's not always easy to follow these practices, and sometimes it's only after an explosion that I go, really should have sent myself to the closet right then. But when I'm able to, these times of silence reveal to me what needs attention. Taking time to be silent allows the uncomfortable and unpleasant to come to surface, and I can choose to feel them, to think them, to give attention to them. In silence, things become clearer to me. I am reminded of my very human and very limited self, and the reality that it is impossible for me to do everything and carry everything. In the noise and activity, I am trying to be in control. And in the silence, I admit that I am not in control and that I need help. The silence becomes a safe place for me to just be me, just where I am. The silence also prepares me to engage with God and friends about all the things that are going on. Silence doesn't take away the feelings or turn the hard into easy, but the silence helps me become more aware of God's presence, more aware that I have friends around me, and that I am not alone. And during this harder season, sometimes knowing that I'm not alone is enough.